Ladies and gentlemen, we have sung three songs today before this point. Prayed
Jesus loved me
several times.
I don't know why he cared.
Jewish song, Rosh Hashanah. Recognize and celebrate around here. And I know that there are people who are trying to separate Christians and Christianity from its Jewish roots, but that is impossible. And so we thank God for the holiday that remembers and celebrates the birthday of creation. This is the real New Year. And our Jewish brothers and sisters, they have soul. They have some soul. Listen to their songs, and it will bless your heart, particularly the songs regarding Rosh Hashanah. So we sung one of those songs. I would encourage you to listen to it today for yourself. Even as a Christian, just go to YouTube and type in Rosh Hashanah, Get Clarity. And then we sung a hymn earlier in this service, which is a hymn that as a young Christian, I loved and I still love. Pass Me Not, O Gentle Savior, an old hymn of the faith. And the reason why I bring that up, that I loved it so much as a young Christian, because some of my brothers and sisters in Christ used to kid me that I loved that song so much, because when we had hymn request time, I would always choose that song, and they said, boy, you must be concerned that Jesus is going to pass you by. You love that song so much. And then we sung our theme song that we always sing right before the message. And why Jesus loves me and us. And we thank God. It is a gospel song. That's the reason why we sing it every service, because it contains the gospel. But anyway, let's all stand for the reading of God's holy word. As I preach in your hearing, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ must unhitch itself not from the Old Testament, not from our Jewish roots, not from the New Testament, but we must unhitch ourselves from W.E.B. Du Bois's problem of the color line. We need to do away with that. And as you can tell, I love that word used by Andy Stanley in a wrong way, unhitch. So I'm playing off of that intentionally. Part 24, The Lost Souls of Black Folk and White Folk. Part 78. The Holy Bible reads in Revelation chapter 7. Please turn there if I didn't mention that earlier. Revelation chapter 7, verses 9 and 10. You have a real Bible, so we'll wait on you. After this, I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. and cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb, that is the Lamb of God, who took away the sins of the world. His name is Jesus Christ. Holy Father God, we praise you, Lord, and we thank you for the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, who took away the sins of the world, and have mercy and grace upon such wretched people as we are, who even claim to be Christians, but refuse to share that truth, your holy gospel, with a dying and lost world, who are laughing all the way to hell, partying all the way to hell. So many people think a whole lot of drastic things will be happening when you come. But that's not what you said. You said in your word that things will be going on what we think is in a normal fashion when you come. Buildings will be built, in the process of going up. People will be going to the grocery store, getting married, giving in marriage, living their lives when you come. And so many, as it stands right now, will be left behind. Lord, help all of us to join the Southern Baptist preacher, Dr. Greer, president of the Southern Baptist Convention, and get one with to go with us. To just get one. Holy Father God, help us to take one with us. Help us not to go to heaven alone. Help us to stop being hypocrites, phonies, and fakes, and enjoying your blessings, and oh, how you have blessed us, but not engaged in the holy business of telling others how that they can be saved as well and have all of the millions of blessings that we received as saved people. Have mercy and grace upon us and forgive us of our sins and not being about the greatest business in the world, the soul-winning business. And Holy Father God, I pray that you'll help us to repent of that, black and white and red and yellow and brown. Crush and crucify our flesh and the old man within us all. Fill us all afresh and anew with the fullness and the power, the unction and the anointing, the fruit and the liberty, Lord, of your Holy Spirit. For Lord, without the power and the might of your Holy Spirit, nothing good is going to be done here today, nothing lasting, nothing real. So Lord, we pray that the power of your Holy Spirit would fall and move upon the hearts of the people gathering around various and sundry devices to hear your holy word. And we marvel at how many people you bring every day, every week, in the thousands. And we give you the glory, the praise, and the honor by your doing so. As we don't pump anybody up, we don't drag it out. We depend upon your Holy Spirit. And we thank you for all of the folks who come on different platforms. We thank you for their kind comments, their kind show of support by clicking on certain things. But the main thing, Lord, we pray is that souls would be saved. And I have full confidence in the power of the gospel, that once it is presented, it takes on a life of its own, and you do what you do. I don't know how you do it, but you do it. And we pray for over 3 million souls to be saved, 3 million Christians to be revived at the preaching of your gospel from this place. And we pray for millions and millions more to be saved through other ministries around the world. And Lord God in heaven, as we are under constant attack by the devil and his demons, each and every day, because we proclaim your gospel every day and we pray without ceasing throughout the day, by your grace and by the power of your Holy Spirit, from the time we get up until the time we go to bed. And Lord, I pray that you will help us to be sober-minded, vigilant, and watchful, no matter how placid things may seem. The devil is ready to pounce at any time as soon as we drop our guard. So help us to be sober-minded, vigilant, and watchful. Help us, Holy Father God, to remain that way and not allow the devil to devour anybody, not allow the devil to devour us in any way. And Lord, we pray that you'll cast out the devil, his demons, and his host, and the satanic spirit of Judas, betrayal, and sabotage, and foolishness, Sanballat and Tobias, from this place, and from the lives and ministries of others. We plead the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Glorify your holy name, for it is in his name, your son's name, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Ladies and gentlemen, John Piper said, it is inconceivable. Now you have to put on your thinking cap when you listen to John Piper. He's a deep individual. Okay, you can't just be looking out the window daydreaming. You got to pay attention, or you'll miss it. But Dr. John Piper said, it is inconceivable to me that a Christian can have a Christ exalting love for all people, or to use his word, diversity, in the church, and be hostile toward diversity in the nation. He goes on to say, the knee-jerk hostilities I see betray, it seems, a very thin veneer, and this is happening today, by the way, a very thin veneer politically of politically correct tolerance of diversity. And I want to give credit to my baby son, Daniel Ezekiel White, who found this powerful quote and helped put together this sermon. But John Piper goes on to say, the knee-jerk hostilities, he said, I see, betray, it seems, a very thin veneer of politically correct tolerance of diversity, instead of a deep, biblically grounded, cross-centered exuberance over God's plan to reconcile, watch this, to reconcile all nations in and through Christ. That's what this is all about. God ordained ethnic diversity and the unified harmony of diverse ethnicities in the family of God. One diverse body, one chosen race, one royal priesthood, one holy nation, yet diverse. One treasured possession, one family, and all of this unity blood-bought. Christ did not die for this in vain. Beloved, in our last message on yesterday, in this series, we saw how the future, pardon me, we saw how the future diversity of Christians shows the global outlook of God and the gospel. God's plan does not favor one race over another, but rather is extended to the whole world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Red, yellow, black, or white, they're all precious in God's sight. And for Sister Weston's sake, and brown. It just does not go with the rhyme, that's all. Sister Weston, don't get mad. But we must include the brown folk. Everybody is precious in God's sight. Let's continue today looking at what we can learn from the future diversity of these people called Christians. By the way, some of you wonder, who is Sister Weston? I believe Sister Weston is dead now, but Sister Weston was my A1 teacher in our Christian school that we formed called Gospelite Christian School many years ago. And she was teaching the class, and she had them singing Red, Yellow, Black, and White, they're all precious in God's sight. And for some reason she threw brown in there. And just to show you how the devil can get into something so insignificant. I told her, well, let's keep the song like it is. And she said, she's older than I am. And I was the pastor. I said, let's just keep the song like it is so there's no confusion. But she said, well, but what about the brown people? I said, okay, well, let's just, if they're not in the song, let's just keep the song as it is. And she got hot and got mad at me, wanted to quit and so forth and so on. But that's how pastors, servants in the church would tell you, little stuff like that has caused huge problems, because the devil will magnify something and cause a problem. Anyway, so I nod to her on that, and I throw the browns in there, even though it doesn't rhyme. But anyway, one thing noted in this passage, ladies and gentlemen, is that many of the divisions that exist today will still exist in the future, even after the tribulation period, near the point of Christ's full return. John gives us a short description of these Christians, noting that they are from different nations and ethnicities and speak different languages, different tongues, different backgrounds, different cultures. They are not divided based upon the earthly lines that divide humans today. And by the way, for those of you who don't know, God is the one who did that. One of the reasons why God did that is because we're so wicked and so evil, we would try to build a tower to heaven and take over heaven if we got together. So to keep us grounded and humble, God is the one who made different languages and different cultures and different groups and so forth. And yet here we are using what God did to do something evil with that, and to become proud and arrogant and hateful, thinking that we're better than somebody else. And by the way, listen to me very carefully. It's not only the white man. Stop lying. It's not only the white man who has the problem. That's a lie. Some of the proudest people in the world are black Jamaicans. Excuse me. Some of the proudest people in the world, some of the most stubborn people in the world are black Jamaicans, mixed with that Chinese blood and with the white man, like my wife. But not only proud Jamaicans, there are many people in the Caribbean who are proud. They're black and they're brown. Some of the most, some of the proudest men in the world are from Latin America. Not always the white man. It's not always the white man. And then we got some proud Negroes in America. Oh yes, we do. And some of us, we think we're better than whites. Oh, we all know Negroes who think they're better and they're superior than whites. There are some old school Negroes who believe that blacks are morally superior to whites because of slavery and other atrocities. But slavery has been going on for a long time. The Israelites, if anybody, and they thought they were superior. Anybody wants to be proud, it's the chosen people of God, the Israelites. And they are uniquely gifted. Make no mistake about it. But it's not always the white man. We have many, all races have their little sneaky ideas about being better than others. Everybody. Stop just focusing on the white man. It's the black man too. And the red man, they think they're better than all of us. Yellow man, we were here first. You are invaders. Everybody. We all have that pride. See, this is all rooted in pride. This is why God hates pride. He hates our pride. God gives, I believe, different races gifts and abilities and talents, ideas, vision. And I know folks don't like for me to say it, but I'm a modern man. I never thought about going to the moon. You couldn't pay me $1 billion to go to the moon. I don't want to go to the moon. And that's why you haven't seen many rocket ships launch off in Africa. That's not our thing. It takes a white man to look at the moon and say, you know what, doggone it, buddy, we're going to go to the moon. And the black man who counts himself very wise and said, we need to leave God's moon alone. Okay? We all have different talents, different gifts, different vision. I see no reason to go to the moon. Let's just enjoy the light of the moon. But everybody's different, Danae. Everybody's different. And we take our differences and become proud about them and think that we're better than. And we become racists. And we get caught up in our tribes. Even though they are still defined to a certain extent by their national or racial identity. They are united by their faith in Christ. That's the only way you can be united on this earth, as a group of diverse individuals and races. By their Christian faith are they united, which enables them to praise God and Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, before His throne. And see, that's what our focus needs to be. And that's why I say all denominations who claim to be Christian need to stop talking about this, that, and the other, and focus on the Lamb of God and getting people to the Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world. Amen, somebody. Get behind Dr. Greer of the SBC. I don't care who has the idea or who has the plan. I like the plan. I'm not a part of the Southern Baptist Convention. I'm independent. But I don't care where it comes from. Everybody ought to get one. I don't care if you're a Methodist. Everybody ought to be about getting somebody to go to heaven with them. I don't care if it takes you a lifetime. One soul is worth everything in the world and more. It makes heaven rejoice. There's nothing else that makes heaven rejoice but souls getting saved, man. Not your little fellowships. Your little thing you're going to do for Halloween. Some folks are planning all month long. The dear sisters of the church are planning to have a fall festival. Well, they're going to have all kinds of pecan pies and everything else that we don't need. That does not make heaven rejoice, man. It makes the saints fatter, and Lord knows we don't need to be made bigger than what we are. I told you before, some of y'all are not going to make it in the rapture. God's going to be trying to lift you on up out of here, and 340, 400 pounds, and it's going to be rough. You're going to be last. You're going to be the last one. We don't need to focus on that, people. We need to focus on getting folks saved. How about nixing the fall festival? To hell with that. Excuse me. Okay. And let's spend this month that the devil thinks is his and be about reaching one. Be they black, white, red, yellow. It's a preacher in Concord, North Carolina. He has a Reaching Creatures Conference. If you're a human being, we're going to reach you with the gospel. That's the name of his conference, the Reaching Creatures Conference. We don't care what color you are. If you're a living, breathing human being, we're going to tell you about Jesus. You can get one if you want one, because God wants you to have one. You can't win a white soul, win a black soul, win somebody. In a society, beloved, in a society which generally agrees, that racism, at least overt racism, is bad, some people make statements like, "I don't see race." That's a lie. Every black person in America knows you see race. You see race when they walk in your store. Particularly if it's a predominantly white town. Everybody looks at you. And then when you go to the cash register, the first thing they're going to ask you is, Where are you from? And that means a whole lot of things right there. That means, I know you're not from around here. That That's the question in the South. Where you from? What part you from? Anyway, in a society which generally agrees that racism, at least overt racism, is bad. Some people make statements like, I don't see race, or race is just a social construct. I don't know what you're talking about. God made us the way we are. I'm black and I'm happy being black. And I want white folks to be happy that they're white. And I thank God for my white friends. And I want them to stay white. I thank God for my black friends. I thank God for my brown friends. I thank God for my yellow friends. I thank God for my red friends. It's a beautiful thing. And everybody ought to be happy and content how God made you. But we don't necessarily need to be proud of how God made us. Black, I'm black and I'm proud. We don't need to be proud. We just need to be black. I'm white and I'm proud. White pride, you just need to be white. You know, later for the pride stuff. People say, I don't see race. Oh, yes, you do. Or race is just a social construct. This is not true. God did not create us all the same. This is really disrespecting God and His creation when you disrespect somebody of a different race. And by the way, I'm going to say again for the third or fourth time, to be a racist is stupid. Everybody knows that. Even white folks know that. Black folks know that. To be a racist is stupid. You're a very, very stupid person to do that, to think like that. Because that person cannot control how God made them. He knew what he was doing. God knew what he was doing when he decided to make different races of humans. The glory and beauty of God's divine plan lies not in the conception that we are all the same, but rather that despite all our differences, we are all made in the image of God and are eligible to be recipients of His gift of salvation by grace through His Son, Jesus Christ. It is all right for a black church to serve its predominantly black community, or for a white church to serve its predominantly white community. However, when a white person walks into a black church, or a black person walks into a white church, they ought to be welcomed as a brother or sister in Christ. And folk ought not to be concerned about the black man wanting to be your brother-in-law. Most black men don't want to be your brother-in-law. They just want to be your brother. So you need to just get over yourself. And they don't want you to marry their black daughter either. So, you know, you need to get over that. And if they are not saved, they should hear the gospel so that they can become a part of the family of God, which transcends all national, cultural, and racial barriers, as we see how the church is going to be in the future. John Browning, I believe I pronounced his name wrong, John Boring, said, keep the unity of spirit. Keep it in the bonds of peace. So alone shall we inherit hope and truth and blessedness. Unity, the linked communion, which with spirits hold, love, the all-entrancing union, scattering blessings manifold. To the Christian feasts, invited, welcoming, and hallowing each, all accordant, all united, what sweet sympathy they speak. Willing service, free allegiance, dear dependence, peaceful bond, earth the scene of love's obedience, heaven the recompense beyond. Let's stand for prayer. If you are a Christian listening today, participating in these services live wherever you are in the world, from Russia to the Philippines, from the Philippines to Australia, from Australia to Kenya, wherever you are in the world, and all of our dear friends in the hundreds in India. Here are three things you need to do. Number one, confess and repent of your own sins. I said not only confess, but repent. Don't even confess if you're not willing to repent. And if you're saved, you have the power to do both. You already know what your sins are. Number two, pray for your brothers and sisters in Christ to repent, to confess and repent of their sins as well, and get back to their first love, Jesus Christ. It's all about Jesus. Everything ought to be pointing to Him. Everything ought to be pointing back to Jesus, the Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world. Number three, pray for souls to be saved and do your part by witnessing to the lost at any cost, by any means necessary. That's all. It's very simple. We don't need another method. We don't need another plan. We don't need another show. We don't need another concert. Just everybody reach one. Everybody do something. In the words of the preacher out in San Diego, do something, man. Do something. Another preacher said, get in where you fit in, man. Do something. Be all about Jesus. Tell people about Jesus, the Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world. It's not about you. It's not about your prosperity. It's not about your money. It's not about your job. It's not about your prestige. It's not about your insurance company and all the deals you're trying to make at the church. It's not about that, man. It's not about putting on a front, a facade, being a phony and a hypocrite and a liar when nobody is paying you any attention. Real saved people don't pay you attention. They don't pay you any attention, man. It's all about Jesus to them. Tell somebody about Jesus or shut up. Tell somebody about Jesus or shut up. Be quiet. Get out the way. Lead somebody to Jesus or get out the way. Follow Dr. Greer, I think I'm pronouncing his last name right, of the SBC. Everybody get one. Try to get one. Get one. Because God wants you to have one. And God will help you to get one if you pray for one. If you want one. If you can't get a black soul, get a white soul. If you can't get a white soul, get a brown soul. Get one. Don't leave this earth without one. Pray for one. If you're old, sitting in a wheelchair, pray for one. Call somebody up on the phone and to get one. Send somebody an email and get one. Send them a gospel tract online and get one. Do something. My God, for the glory of God, for the Lamb of God's sake, get one. reach out to somebody. When you come out of your favorite grocery store today, because some of us live at our favorite grocery stores, put a gospel track on somebody's window. Just do one. When you go to the bathroom in the public place, leave a gospel pamphlet. You say, I don't have any. Well, get some. By any means necessary. Get the gospel to people. That ought to be the reason why you wake up in the morning. It's not about you and your mortgage. Are you kidding me? You probably need to get rid of the mortgage. If it's taking your attention off of what God wants you to do, the Great Commission and the Great Commandment. You probably don't need a mortgage. It's not about your car payment, please, and trying to show off it. Your little car at church, and the people don't even see you because you always late anyway. They don't see your car. They don't see your red bottom shoes. Man, they can care less. They're not looking at you. Holy Father God, I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you would fire up your Christian people once again. Hopefully they have realized that the secret is not in politics. The power is not in politics. The power is in preaching your gospel and sharing your gospel with others. Lord, help everybody under the sound of my voice, if they don't do anything else, but to grab a gospel track and give it to somebody. If they're prone to giving money to homeless people on the corner, make sure they wrap that money in a gospel pamphlet. For as you know, Lord, thousands have gotten saved through gospel tracts. The corporate ministry, as D.L. Moody used to call it. Lord, help everybody under the sound of my voice today to do something, as we did last night, and as we are going to do today. Grant us your grace, your anointing, your unction, and the power of your Holy Spirit to proclaim your gospel, to share the gospel by any means necessary. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, amen. You may be seated. Now, dear friend, if you're with us today and you can understand a few things I'm saying, but you didn't get it all because you have never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, allow me to show you how you can place your faith and trust in the Lamb of God that we just got through reading about, who took away the sins of the world, including your sins. And all you have to do is believe on him so that your soul can be saved from the power of sin, the most destructive force in the world, and the punishment of sin, which is hell. God would not be God if he did not punish sin. I mean, he is the God of the universe. I know you, a corrupt individual, you don't understand that. We as human beings, we don't understand that justice. But we understand a little bit because a young white lady is going to jail, they say, for possibly 99 years for killing a black man in his apartment. That was decided today, very quickly. So we understand punishment of sin and evil a little bit. And she was a police officer. But yet she's going to the hell of jail right now. She's in jail as I speak, I do believe. Well, you're not going to live for 70 years and sin against God and raise your little puny fist in God's face and say, I am the master of my soul and my fate, which you are. And I'm going to do what I want to do. And I'm going to ignore the Ten Commandments in my heart. Because I know when I'm wrong. I'm going to ignore my own conscience. I'm going to ignore the Ten Commandments in your Bible. I'm going to ignore every church on every corner and do what I want to do and expect to go to heaven and not go to hell. That's foolishness. So first, accept the fact, dear friend, that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's laws. We all have sinned against God. We all have done evil. We all have done wrong. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." We all have failed God's standard, His holy standard of perfect obedience. Second, accept the fact that there is a penalty, there is a punishment for sin always, as I have just explained to you. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." We die because of sin. Our bodies go to a grave somewhere. Our soul goes straight to hell if we don't trust Christ as Savior. I know that that is an uncomfortable truth. That is an inconvenient truth, but it is truth nonetheless. Hell is as real as New York City is real. There are people burning in hell right now. I know you're saying, "Well, you're trying to scare me." I'm not trying to scare anybody. I'm just stating facts. If you want to be scared, you can be scared. And you should be. So thirdly, accept the fact, dear friend, that you're on the road to hell right now as I speak. By the way, Jesus Christ, yes, the meek and lowly and loving one, the greatest man who ever lived on this earth, preached on hell more than any prophet in the Bible. Jesus Christ preached on hell more than he did about heaven, because he knows what awaits those who don't trust him as Savior. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. But rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." In hell. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, dear friend, and you shall be saved from hell. Now, hell is bad news. Hell, Jesus said, is a place of weeping and gnashing of teeth. Hell is a place of an agonizing, permanently painful memory. You will remember every opportunity you got, you had to get saved, and you rejected Christ. You will remember in your mind's eye every church you pass by on Sunday morning to go to the golf course. So, hell is bad news, but I have some good news for you. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." That is the good news that every Christian ought to be telling everybody. For we're nothing but beggars telling other beggars where the bread is. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, dear friend, and you shall be saved. Stop worrying about yourself and your stuff. And focus on Jesus. Put your faith and trust in him. I'm not going to lie to you and say you're going to have an easy life. You're not. But heaven is going to be sweet, and we'll make up for it. So pray and ask him to come into your heart to save your soul, believing in your heart that Jesus Christ died for your sins, was buried, and rose again. For the Bible says and guarantees, Romans 10:9-13, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved from what? Saved from hell. Saved to what? Saved to heaven. It's a very simple situation. And it's not difficult for you. It's not difficult for you to be saved. In fact, it's easy. Contrary to what some preachers will tell you, believing on Christ is easy. There's nothing hard about it. Why would God make something so important difficult for such ignorant and evil people as we are? He made it so simple because he knew that in our wickedness we would mess it up. All you have to do is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ right now in your heart and pray and ask him to save your soul, to come into your heart, and he will do it. So follow me in what we call the sinner's prayer. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart, believing in your heart on the Lord Jesus Christ. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner and that I have done evil in your sight. I have broken your Ten Commandments. I have lied before. I've stolen things before. I have taken your holy name in vain before. I've dishonored and disobeyed my parents before. I've coveted after and lusted after people and things before. For Jesus Christ's sake, please have mercy and grace upon my soul. I understand that I deserve to go to hell, not to heaven, because of my sins. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul. As I now believe with all of my heart on you, Lord Jesus, that you suffered, you bled, and you died, was buried, and rose again on the third day. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my wretched soul. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to truly repent of my sins past and my old evil life and to follow you in the new life. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, and for his sake, amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you believed in your heart on the Lord Jesus Christ today, that he suffered, he bled, and he died on the cross, was buried, and rose on the third day, allow me to say to you, congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet titled, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Dear friend, if you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you believed on him today, please email me at dw3@gospellightsociety.com or one of our many other emails on whatever site you might be on right now and let us know. We have some free material that we want to send you. If you have a prayer request, please email that to us as well, and we will pray for you until you tell us to stop. Until next time, my beloved, God loves you. Jesus Christ loves you. By God's grace, we love you. And may God bless you real good, is my prayer. I don't know why Jesus loved me.